Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. We have one Raw left before WrestleMania?
Yep. One more week before our WrestleMania show.
Yes.
This is our pre-WrestleMania show.
Yes, it is. Pre-WrestleMania.
Because what else is there to talk about, honestly? I mean, that was the end of Raw. That was pretty awesome, you know?
Yeah.
It was your usual, like, surprise, we're going to beat up all the bad guys, you know? That's WWE's formula.
Mm-hmm.
And it works great, especially if it's Sting.
Right.
You know, if it's somebody lame, then no one's going to care. It's awful. I mean, and I'm assuming that was a prop bet because he was wailing on Jokers for that thing.
Yeah.
So, that was good.
Okay, so here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
We are one Raw left before WrestleMania.
Yes.
And so there were matches going into this week that weren't set. We all knew they were going to happen. The John Cena Rusev match.
Yes.
Wasn't set. The Randy Orton Seth Rollins match wasn't set.
Mm-hmm.
And so honestly, looking at those kind of things, what do you think about those? How do you care about those? Because like in story, deeply enriched into kayfabe, 100%, you'd sit there and be like, I don't know if John Cena is going to get to save America at WrestleMania. I don't know. And then, you know, and of course, you know, you pull that curtain back like the fraction of an inch. Of course, here's because of storytelling plot devices. And, they're advertising this on the website. I wonder why they're doing that when it's not official yet.
Right.
So.
Okay, so what are you asking?
Okay, I'm asking, what is the appropriate time to be scheduling matches for WrestleMania? And WrestleMania more so than anything else, because it's WrestleMania.
Right. I would like for the card to be locked in.
Okay.
At least the Raw before. Preferably two Raws before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, by two Raws, I would say you have 90-95% of your card locked.
Officially in kayfabe locked.
Yes.
Because that's the thing. Like we've known the card. I think there's 8 matches on the card, they're saying. And we've known that card for the past.
I mean, they still haven't locked in anything with the tag teams. They're clearly doing something with all these tag teams.
Right, okay. Fair enough.
But they haven't locked it in.
Right.
But we.
It's going to be another, like, 12 slides to do.
Like, how's that coming? Have you touched it all this week?
I've touched it, yes.
Okay, fair enough.
So, to inside baseball, the
audience, talk amongst yourselves. What's up, Joel?
Well, you're not supposed to know, but like...
Oh, okay.
Well, just know there's a lot of, like... So, at the end of the slideshow, there's, like, this little, like, just a few more notes to wrap up kind of thing.
Okay.
And there's a lot of stuff in there.
Are you going to have a picture of, like, music notes again?
Of course I am. Running joke.
And see, that's the thing, like, if you hadn't have said that, I wouldn't have thought about it, and I would have not had that recollection of it until...
Oh, no, did I remember that?
I mean, come on, it's me we're talking about, I'm going to forget it between now and then, so... I'm still like, I'm going to say it, I'm going to see it, I'm going to sigh, and then I'm going to say some sort of expletive four-letter word.
If it makes you feel better, it is a different picture of musical notes.
Oh, wow! All right, broadening your horizons. Excuse me.
But like, I mean, there's stuff where like, honestly, it's because there's two matches that have a lot of people in. There's the Battle Royal and the ladder match,
mm-hmm.
where you know I'm kind of like, how much do I expect? Like I want to be like, hey, this is what's up with Mizdow. People who don't know, Mizdow's awesome. Let's just go with that. But do I put that at the in the Battle Royal stuff or do I? Go ahead and put it at the end. You're like, hey,
and like, I'd put it in the Battle Royals. And they're heavily
featured,
talking about the Battle Royals.
And it's also like, I just need to put a little note, and be like, just in case CM Punk comes back, you guys need to flip.
Get off of it, dude.
I really think I might put that in for the rest of my life. Every single
to the point where you're going to know what Chris's reaction is going to be every year. It's going to be like, Joel, it's not going to happen. Accept it. It's over.
He'll come back someday. Never say never.
You do know the guy has a pending lawsuit against them, right? Not by the company, but
yeah,
the company's heavily, you know, backing the guy.
Has anybody else ever had a pending lawsuit against
I'm sure there has.
I mean, like, has Hogan or Warrior?
I'm sure Warrior, I think, at least.
Or Bruno, or so, like, somebody had
one. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Warrior's had one. I don't know.
It won't be this year. It won't be next year.
Well, see, here's the thing. Okay. Triple H, for a lot of those guys, was that buffer that got them to finally come around with Warrior and San Martino and, you know, all that stuff. But given what we know, who's going to be Triple H's buffer for CM Punk? Because CM Punk apparently hates him.
Yeah.
So it's either going to be Vince or somebody else. Definitely ain't going to be Stephanie.
No. I mean, honestly, what I'm banking on is older dudes just being calmer dudes.
True.
And I might be, you know, grasping at invisible, non-existent straws there. But I'm fair hoping that older dudes are
calmer dudes. I have this thought in my head that Joey Mercury is just going to continue to climb the ladder, and he's going to be like, for realsies, Triple H is like right-hand man in the company.
Yeah.
He's going to be like his guy. And this is like after Vince is, you know, retired or whatever, and he's not really, and it's literally Triple H and Stephanie running the show. And, you know, we've all seen the documentary, and we don't know if CM Punk, we don't know if Joey Mercury is CM Punk's best friend, but he's, you know, he's Joey Mercury's best friend, however he wears it, you know. So, I mean, there's a connection there still, you know, come on.
Cross your fingers.
And watch it like he stays exactly where he's at, and Jamie Noble climbs the ladder instead.
I'm telling you what it should be now at this point, because that's the thing, is like, even in my little heart of fanboy hearts, I can't help but like look in the future and be like, that's when CM Punk should come back. And like, if I I can't do it for WrestleMania, because there's no reasonable spot for him to come back at WrestleMania. If he came back at WrestleMania, he'd just come back.
Right.
Like, it's, you know, but if Brock Lesnar retains at WrestleMania and continues to retain, Brock Lesnar's 434th day as champion will be at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view.
Okay.
And I'm sitting here being like, CM Punk should come back to make sure he doesn't break his record.
But he's okay with them tying it?
No, he would. That if CM Punk came back and beat him for the championship at Hell in a Cell, then he would not break the record.
So he would be at, what, 433?
I think so.
Okay.
If I did the math wrong, I might have done the math wrong.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm like, it's pay-per-view, Brock Lesnar, CM Punk again.
True.
CM Punk will have had his UFC fight. maybe post-UFC, CM Punk will have a different outlook.
See,
on
the
predetermined outcomes.
I don't know, because I think it was an interview with the guy training him, I think, and he's like, it might be about a year away from him being a UFC match.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, come on, like, they're going to take all the time they need with him, and that's completely fine, because I want his head to still be intact on his shoulders.
Yeah. I think that CM Punk's lifeblood is wrestling, and as much as you killed that now, I still think it's his first and truest love.
Yeah.
And even if I don't ever see CM Punk in WWE again, I still would not be surprised to see him at Ring of Honor or New Japan or something.
Fair enough.
Just there to be CM Punk, to have some sort of pop. But
anyway.
I can't go a week without being like, and this is why I like CM Punk, can I?
No, you can't.
Can't do it.
And see, here's the thing, like, I was the CM Punk fan in all of this.
I was a CM Punk
fan. No, you were a CM Punk fan. You were not the CM Punk fan. You were the Dolph Ziggler fan.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if gun to head had to pick your favorite, you would probably say Ziggler. I would say
Punk. No, I would have said Punk.
Really?
Punk. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, Punk.
Granted, let's not like gloss over the fact that we like created this podcast pretty much because of the promo.
It was CM Punk feuding with Big Show when he did the I Broke Big Show's Hand t-shirt. Yeah. Kind of the end of Straight Edge Society.
All right.
He did a thing where, because he was on SmackDown mostly, but he came on Raw for like a 3-hour special or something, and they did a thing where he did a thing where he played Stone Cold's music. He was, you know, talking about how terrible Stone Cold was, then played Stone Cold's music, acted scared, and then laughed at everybody.
Right.
Now is what really flipped the switch. I was like, yes.
All right. Like, for me, it was during his feud with Jeff Hardy before Jeff Hardy left.
Yeah.
You know, it was like right at that point where he was just like, because, you know, I still lived at the dorm and I was watching SmackDown on Hulu because I'm not going to spend a Friday night watching SmackDown. But I watched SmackDown because, you know,
SmackDown was still, it's
all good. You had guys like CM Punk and Jeff Hardy and all this stuff on SmackDown. Yeah. It was pretty good. So it was like right around the point where he was getting booed for saying that, you know, he doesn't do drugs and stuff. And I'm like, wait, why are they booing him for that? And then I was like, I pay closer attention to it because, you know, I always multitask. And so I was paying closer attention to what he was saying. It's like, oh, okay.
He's trying to get them to.
And it was like right before he went full heel with it. Like, yeah. Now he's just kind of being snobby about it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, around that time is when I really caught on.
Yeah. And so, but I remember.
That was my roundabout way of saying that I like CM Punk before you.
Whatever. I didn't watch wrestling when it wasn't cool. I only came back when it started being cool again.
Fair enough.
Because I did Attitude Era. I did none of that thing where all y'all guys got tired of John Cena and Randy Orton. I missed all of it. And then I came back. I was like, this John Cena Randy Orton thing, it's pretty new.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. All right.
I mean, I have...
Because you came in, I want to say, about a year after I did. No, probably a couple years.
Yeah, it was a couple years. My first live WrestleMania, like going into watching WrestleMania was 26.
Okay. I came back in at 23.
Mm-hmm.
23, like, I came back because of 23, because I heard of the main event being John Cena and Shawn Michaels, and I was like, wait, Shawn Michaels... Yes, but he doesn't wrestle anymore. Like he took like years off because of his back.
Yeah,
that's around the time I stopped being a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, you know, watched it, and next thing you know, I was watching Raw, and next Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
No, I mean, that
was what kind of got you with Bret Hart, because you're like, wait, no, Bret Hart's no.
It's like Bret Hart's super super mad at everybody.
Right, especially WWE. Come on.
Yeah. So, and it was, and no, it was that storyline. I wasn't interested in anything else, but I was like, all right, let's see where that storyline's going.
Because I'm trying to think of like really dumb storylines that were going on at that moment, at that time. I can't really think of anything. I'm sure there were. I just can't think of it specifically right now.
Well, here's the thing, I'm gonna tie this back into current events. Oh, it's gonna be awesome.
I'm waiting.
We were at the Road to WrestleMania at the time,
mm-hmm.
and it was a good Road to WrestleMania.
Yeah,
because that was Shawn and Undertaker in the rematch. And
so I remember I made sure I shown you the first one before that WrestleMania.
No, I didn't see the first one.
You didn't?
No,
okay.
I didn't see the first one. But it was a thing where I was still, even though I knew like retirement matches were a thing.
Yeah.
I still wasn't so into it that I was like. Yeah, and part of it was just the build. The build was amazing.
Yeah.
Because they were like, I was like, oh, it's a retirement match. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're making a career retrospective DVD that comes out like 2 weeks before.
Right.
Like, it's all this stuff. And I'm still like, I think Shawn Michaels might do it, you guys.
Yeah, now that DVD was what gave it away for me. I was like, as soon as they put that, I was like, man, this MFer is going to freaking retire.
So, well, he addressed it. I remember him addressing on the show. He's like, y'all wait, I'm going to start working on a part two, starting right after WrestleMania.
Right. So. Yeah, you worked us all. But I do remember, like, showing you that the first Taker and Shawn match.
Yeah,
because I remember your reaction whenever Shawn kicked out of that tombstone, and just the Undertaker was like, boo!
But there was that build. I really dug on the Batista-Cena build. Because that was... it was good heel McMahon, where mm-hmm. Cena had just survived the Elimination Chamber, and then Batista came out fresh as a daisy and
with no Money in the Bank, no nothing. Vince was just like, nah, he gets a title shot right now, go. You know?
Yeah.
It felt like Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. But he got it because it was Batista. He also had the storyline of Edge returning against Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm. Edge going
not a great build up, but you know, it had a little bit of history. They were tag team champions or whatever. And Edge got hurt and Chris just threw him under the bus.
Yeah, I think that was also Sheamus and
Triple H.
Which I like.
A great unfinished question.
Well, I mean, part of it is I wasn't tired of any of these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it was a good build up. But thinking about that, I was thinking about it actually watching Raw, and I was like, this is the worst build up to WrestleMania I've ever seen.
Yeah, this year. Given your, 5 years
mm-hmm.
back into it? Yeah.
Yeah. And especially since then. And I'm like vaguely, because I watched kind of mm-hmm. back then. I didn't ever watch WrestleMania, but right. I would watch, like, the build-up to WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would hear about the build-up to WrestleMania. Or I would hear that Rock and Stone Cold were going to finally face each other at WrestleMania.
Right.
And so, and, you know, like, 27 is, like, the other thing to point to. And, like, you can point to, like, oh, a year-long build-up for once in a lifetime? That was unnecessary.
Well, yeah, but it didn't make 28 suffer.
No, it didn't. And
27, it was a decent build-up for most of...
See, 27 was a great build-up with a terrible payoff, because the whole build-up was, Rock's gonna do something at WrestleMania. Right. And, oh, boy.
Right.
And then when it ended up being like, oh, he'll just come out of the ring and rug what him a couple people. Okay, whatever.
And make Miz win.
Yeah.
Which you would think would give him an instant heel reaction, given how, like, over Miz was as a heel.
Because mm-hmm.
he was a great heel, and he still is.
He still is. That's honestly...
Like, to the point where like, they're not necessarily hating him because he's a heel. They're hating him because he's an obnoxious prick.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit of a difference.
The Miz not ever being a main event heel, like a long-term main event heel, mm-hmm. it's not Daniel Bryan getting knocked back down the card, egregious error, but it's an error.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the only thing holding him back really was probably ring ability.
Miz?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. That's where he's weakest.
Right.
But
on the mic, you know, and then there was like that weird, like, few months, like, experiment of putting him as a face.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, nah. He had the thing with John Cena, which really was him getting beaten up by Cena.
Well, no, yeah, that's the thing. He was fed to the Cena machine. Cena mm-hmm. had to look strong going up against The Rock, especially right. after, quote-unquote, losing to WrestleMania, so that we had to have the Miz and Alex Riley literally beat down Cena for 30 minutes in an right. I Quit match, and Cena still comes out on top.
Right.
Which is the grossest lol Cena wins moment. Like, that's the truest of true.
Okay. I would challenge you on that, but I don't think I have the time to go through every lol Cena wins archive in my brain.
I think that's the worst. I think that's the most unquestioning, extended, unnecessary beat down that turns around at the very end.
Sandow Cena, Money in the Bank cash in. Cena was one.
Oh yeah, didn't Cena have one arm? Yeah, that was not good.
Yeah, and Sandow was really good that night.
Yeah,
like I don't know what switch was flipped, but he was really good in that match.
No,
and
that does.
Cena had one arm, and he beat him with pretty much nothing.
Yeah. I'll still say mine's worse, but, like, yeah, that's a bad one. That is a bad lol Cena wins moment. But no, just the...
You just don't like saying I'm right.
I don't like saying you're right. I'm glad I don't have to say it very much.
Jerk.
Point one for the good guys. No, the build-up has been lackluster. And mm-hmm. honestly, like, that doesn't mean it's gonna be a bad WrestleMania.
Right, and honestly, that might mean WrestleMania 31 ends up being better because we had such low expectations. You know? So in our mind, like, the first class ring attire after WrestleMania 31, we might be like, guys, that was a great show, alright? Only because we were going in with really, like, rock bottom low expectations.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, there's... Again, of the 8 matches, there's nothing where I'm like, that's the pee break.
Yeah,
match.
Like,
I mean, you know, there's like the standard, like, oh, the Divas is the pee break match. But, like, it's not a bad Divas setup. Like, Paige and AJ versus the Bella Twins is not a bad Divas setup. You kind of don't have the title on the line at WrestleMania. Okay. But other than that, you know.
Now I'm worried. I'm like, when am I going to get to use the bathroom?
during the commercials. During the random commercials that they'll have on the pay per view.
Whatever the celebrity involvement is,
mm-hmm.
be like, oh, because I'm of course, because it's WrestleMania season, so, you know, if I don't have something to watch and I need something on the background, cut on the network, WrestleMania, whatever. Yeah. And so, like, I'm on 24. We're like, well, now we're going to cut to the lovely Kim Kardashian. I was like, well, that's time for me to go use the bathroom real quick. Or whenever I was on 23, and like, all right, it's time to shave Vince McMahon's hair because that segment was way too long.
Yeah. I don't know, but I watched 30 again. 30 is.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm trying not to, like, just skip to straight 30. Skip to 30. I want to.
I mean, you can. It's like, can. Nobody's holding your feet to the fire here,
I
buddy.
Know, but I like being, you know, sequential.
I mean, just, I don't know, 30 as a show, especially as a 4-hour wrestling show.
Right.
Might be the most perfect encompassing piece of art.
Yeah. That
especially WWE's ever produced.
No, absolutely. I agree. Like, they captured lightning in a bottle in 30.
I just...
I lost my train of thought.
Yeah.
But yes, WrestleMania 30 was perfect. And I feel like we say that, like, every other week. But, I mean, there's no way to...
But I watched it again, and I was like, God, every moment that every guy did, every match, just, I don't know, I like, well up. Actually, I want to move on to
And it was our first WrestleMania without CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't remember if he was in 23 at all.
I mean, it's the first WrestleMania I saw without CM Punk.
Yeah.
So.
Wait, 20... Because I know he, like, his first one was in Money in the Bank that he lost, that Kennedy won. Yeah. That's my first WrestleMania since I've come back.
Yeah.
That CM Punk wasn't in, and it was the best.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the one factor isn't mutually exclusive to the other, but still.
I mean, it's, you know, you kind of look at it like CM Punk was going to face Triple H, and, you know, that was when CM Punk up and left, that threw a wrench and everything, and they had to adjust, and so CM Punk really did save WrestleMania. By going and sitting on his couch in Chicago.
So you really can fix it by sitting on his couch, yeah.
Yeah, because he did. Because it was shaping up to be not a good WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I want to move on real quick to Wrestling Isn't Wrestling.
Yes, I was actually about to suggest that, yes.
So if you have not seen it, literally just go and watch it right now.
Yeah, we posted it on our Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
So you can search through it on there if you... have trouble finding that for whatever reason, send us a message on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, and we will get it to you.
It's a video. It's about 25 minutes long. It's a guy named Max Landis. His dad, John Landis, is a famous Hollywood producer.
Yeah.
Max Landis himself is a screenwriter. He wrote Chronicle. He has a couple other movies coming out this year. And honestly, the best way to describe it is Max Landis sits in a chair and tells you in kayfabe the story of Triple H,
right,
from Hunter Hearst Helmsley Aristocrat up through modern day.
And using that the story of Triple H as an example to show his premise of wrestling isn't wrestling, because, you know, it starts with the whole, like, you know, telling people, and, you know, it's a thing that we always talk about every time we have a guest or something for the first time. You know, we ask them, like, all these questions on what got them into wrestling, what kept them into wrestling. And one of the questions that we always ask them is, what do you say when people make the comment that wrestling isn't real?
Yeah.
You know? Or, you know, it's fake, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's always that same, the same phrasing, too. Like, that's what I hate. Like, everyone says it the same way. It's like, you know it's fake, right?
Yeah.
That's what gets, to me. It's like that tone.
I think you should do that when people talk about, like, God, that moon landing was really cool, or, but, you know, it's fake, right?
We'll see, no. Because then Matthew McConaughey's character from Interstellar is going to get mad at me.
It's like, you didn't go Buzz Aldrin?
Well, no, I'm going with a topical reference. That movie came out, like, in the last 4 or 5 months.
You've seen the video where Buzz Aldrin punches a guy for telling him that.
I heard about it, I haven't seen it.
I mean, it's like old man Buzz Aldrin straight up punching a dude in the face.
But then again, Buzz Aldrin is crazy.
Buzz Aldrin's awesome.
Did you see him when he hosted Raw?
I did.
It was so awful in a hilarious way, but yes.
So it's a lot of really interesting points that he kind of did. One thing is he
completely told the story, the KFM version of the story.
Yeah.
And it was like you would be telling somebody, like, if you sat down, I was like, all right, what is mm-hmm. what happened on the latest episode or the late last season of Game of Thrones, and you told right. it. And there's not, like, you know, a lot of the stuff when talking about wrestling, I've always done is like, okay, so what was happening in real life is da-da-da-da-da right. happened, you know? But I don't do that when I'm like, you know, and then this happened on Game of Thrones because of some contract disputes and, you know, somebody wanted right. to leave the show to pursue a movie career. And right. so, you know, but I don't do that. But that wasn't done. The backstage stuff was completely ignored.
Except for him being more involved behind the scenes. Although that plays into his character, yeah.
He was involved in a behind-the-scenes thing, you know, because of Stephanie on the show as well.
Sure.
I mean...
That was one of those things where, you know, reality mixed in with...
I think the most he acknowledged the you know, real-world behind-the-scenes politics stuff mm-hmm. was mentioning how when DX reformed in the PG era... They mm-hmm. were DX Lite versus
right.
the original, you know, kind of DX attitude. It was just, it's... And he looked at it as a storyteller,
mm-hmm.
first and foremost. He kind of took what happened and forced the character arc onto it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially tying this, you know, Triple H, like all wrestlers, has gone through several kind of character changes,
mm-hmm.
And he created a through character through the whole thing, the whole mm-hmm. time, of why this happened, how this happened to this character.
Right.
It's really touching.
Yeah. Like, it makes you, like, it makes Triple H, like, a sympathetic bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a guy that we all hate, and he tells us why we hate him. But you're saying, like, this is why he does it, because of this, you know, deep-seated desire to be the best, but, you know, being denied the best, you know, and the fans not treating him as if he is the best, even though he believes it himself.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was
great. It was giving WWE a lot of credit.
It was. But, honestly...
But if you're wanting to hook somebody, especially somebody who is interested creatively in mm. stuff like this, then that's how you hook them, is you hook them with the intricacies, you know.
Well, you know, in all honesty, this video came at a very, very good time for me, because since WrestleMania,
mm-hmm.
or since Royal Rumble,
mm-hmm.
I felt very down on the product, very unmotivated yeah. on the product.
Yeah.
And it's not just here, but... No, it's the kind of thing where, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm like, I'm not, like, existentially, like, you know, quitting wrestling, quitting the podcast.
Yeah.
No, I'm done forever. But I'm just, like...
Yeah, please don't. I don't want to talk to myself. they don't want that.
Well, like... Really, I mean, Mondays haven't been as much fun or as exciting, yeah. and it goes to a lot of things. A lot of it, you know, there's a lot of factors at play there, and some of it is just this, like, I know what's going to happen. I know that they're going to force this whether I want it or not,
mm-hmm.
and the audience isn't as outright...
Mm-hmm.
not accepting of it as they were last right. year.
And as you feel like they should be.
Right. And so it's, you know, if you want to cheer for Roman, that's your prerogative.
Right.
But I kind of be like, don't cheer for Roman. They want you to cheer for Roman.
Right. Yeah.
But then there's, like, you know, there's this talk of, like, you know, pumping in crowd noise and dampening Brian noise. And I'm just, and it's depressing, honestly.
Right.
It's depressing. It's, And, you know, and I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I've quit other shows for less. You know, there are other TV shows that I don't watch anymore because the story is not going the way I want it. They're
right.
focusing on characters I'm not interested in.
I've quit TV shows pretty recently, actually, just because I was bored with one episode. Like, I got 5-10 minutes into an episode, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not feeling it, and then just never watched it again. And that's me quitting a show that, you know, I've been invested in, like, the 2-3 seasons. Yeah. And I'm quitting it just because I wasn't feeling it that one day.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, no, I'm right with you. Like, I've quit better for less.
And so it's just, it's, I don't know, it was, there was a time where, you know, recently, within, since Royal Rumble, I'm like, how long am I going to continue to watch wrestling on a weekly basis? You know?
And if you ever stop, will you go elsewhere? Like, would you focus just on NXT, or would you focus on New Japan? You know, because a lot of people are you know, going...
There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of people very high in New Japan. What I've seen of TNA recently is the best that TNA's been in a long time. I've heard lots of good things about Lucha. I haven't consistently kept up with Lucha.
Yeah.
But Lucha is... During TNA, even though they're doing better stuff now, TNA is still a lot of WWE light.
Yeah.
Lucha is different. Lucha's weird, different camera angles.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's...
They're purposely trying to be different.
Yeah, it's a different, interesting product. Same with New Japan, and New Japan's just different culturally stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, Raw's the easiest thing to watch.
Right.
Raw, I mean,
it's kind of what we've been programmed to do.
Right. It's, and so the thing is, like, also, if I cannot muster up the energy, the ability to just have Raw on in the background on a weekly basis, I don't have energy or time to seek out these other ones and find the time in my schedule to watch it. And again, none of this is like a retirement announcement. None of this is the podcast is going away.
There's no press conference. There's no cameras here. But Joel is very far from tears.
Yes, but that's the thing is, you know, people do you know, drift in and out of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is, you know, like the pipe bomb brought in so many people.
Right.
It was such a specific moment of like people came back who haven't watched wrestling for years. Right. And recently, like, I have been seeing people post on message boards, forums, just discussions back and forth, being like, it was this Daniel Bryan thing that really brought me back. It was, you know, the Yes chant was appearing at other sporting events and you know, and people mentioned, oh, that's from wrestling. I'm like, wrestling from my childhood. And, you know, and I'm sitting there being like, you guys weren't here around the pipe bomb. Like, that's the brought people back kind of moment. Everybody who's watched wrestling for less time than me came back in on the pipe bomb, I feel.
Yeah.
So these people who came back in on WrestleMania 30 build-up, like Beardsley and stuff, and I'm like, what's going on? That's weird.
Beardsley, he initially was interested because I showed him, like, that one Bray Wyatt match. It was, like, the first really good match that he had that we were, like, impressed with. I think it was Kofi at Battleground 2013, maybe? Yeah. And at that point, he was like, yeah, no, I'll obviously come watch Raw with you guys. And then it wasn't until Hulk Hogan announced he was coming back where he was like, I'm in. You know, it was a big nostalgia thing. So there's that. And I because, you know, you got to think, as massive of an audience as they get and as massive of a net that they try to reach out, there's probably at least one person that has gotten fully invested into WWE, into wrestling, because of Axelmania.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're, like, statistically, like, there's at least one, like, one, there's at least one person that's fully invested now because of Mizdow.
Yeah, know? No, and that's the thing, is, like, I get that, but...
However, that could not be said for whenever they announced that Hornswoggle was the anonymous general manager. I can say that with confidence.
Fair enough. But that's the thing, is, like, is, you know, these people... drift in and out of watching wrestling. They'll watch wrestling for a year and kind of fade away for a few and come back for a while. And I'm like, is that going to happen to me? Is that happening to me? Am I growing bored, tired of the product? And honestly, it's not anything that WWE has done to reinvigorate me. It was the Wrestling Isn't Wrestling video.
Right.
Watching this, like, yes, it was, you know, the heroes are here in 25 minutes is this story that played out over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I just saw the tail end of those 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, I saw this middle piece and I saw over here this tail end, and like, I'm just like, to be able to, like, construct this storyline, mm-hmm. and like, and that is,
and draw like a thread throughout the entire thing, like, this is the underlying story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, all right.
And he like, he honestly tied Triple H's feelings about his initial matches as Hunter Hearst Helmsley, mm-hmm. into his feelings about Daniel Bryan 20 years later, yeah. in a way that made sense and was a continuation. And there's things like that. Like the Taker streak.
Yeah.
These things that take 20 years. Mm-hmm. And part of that was, you know, part of it thinking about it was with Taker coming back. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not, you know, the thing is, like, I can always come back and watch Taker.
Yeah.
Defend that streak. And I can't come back and watch Taker defend that streak. And the moment 21 years in the buildup. And it was, you know, it's one of the defining moments of what made that WrestleMania so great was, yeah. the loudest silence I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And so part of what it was about that streak was like, that's it. That's over. I, you know, do I have it in me to start over with the next thing that will pay off in 20 years?
Right.
And
assuming that there will be something.
Assuming that there will be something.
I don't think it's going to be really hard to replicate that.
Well, see, that's what I thought. Is it really? It's going to be really hard to replicate that.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, Wrestling Isn't Wrestling did a lot to replicate that.
Right.
Just with Triple H's wrestling, just to be right. able to, like, look at this art, look at this career,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, you know what? There, you can do that just as easily with Hulk Hogan's career. Mm-hmm. You watch Hulk Hogan, you know, in the very beginning, hit Hulkamania in 1984. You know, real American through all this
yeah.
time frame, turn. You know, on that moment, turn into, and the NWO and this, you know, and just his spot, his moment in the Monday Night War, his return to WWE, it still is not clicking there,
mm-hmm.
and him finally being back theoretically for good. Now, him coming back felt like him coming home and had that coming home moment,
yeah.
because of everything that happened before that.
Yeah.
And watching wrestling to me on a week-to-week basis, and I knew this already, and it just kind of drove this point home for me, but watching wrestling on a week-to-week basis, seeing this installment in this story, mm-hmm. seeing this tiny bit of character development, and the thing is that the inconsistencies that are there and will always be there,
mm-hmm.
and are mind-boggling and frustrating, and why that thing that is literally opposite of what happened 1 week ago,
right,
will always be there. But when Max Landis sat down in a chair and for 25 minutes told the story of Triple H,
mm.
the story was consistent.
Right.
And so when I sit back and I think about the arc of Hulk Hogan, the arc of CM Punk, the mm-hmm. arc of John Cena, the arc is consistent.
Yeah.
And to be able to experience that in real time,
mm-hmm.
is what is so powerful right. to me.
People that have stayed pretty much the same character at its core,
mm-hmm.
they went through, you know, various changes and heel, face, mid, you know, mid guy, whatever, but at the core they stayed the same. Now, guys that had a bajillion gimmick changes and name changes and stuff, you know, probably wouldn't be so easy to do. Yeah. Although I'm pretty sure if you look hard enough, you could find some sort of underlying current there. But I mean, like, Rikishi had like quite a few,
yeah.
you know, and I mean, freaking Tensai alone.
But that's the thing, is like, you look at Tensai where it doesn't work, but then you look at Mick Foley where right. it works. Mick Foley, Mankind, are not the same character.
No.
But you see this overarching thing of this one guy
mm-hmm.
who, and I mean, that's what Dude Love was. Dude Love was this boyhood dream
mm-hmm.
that he couldn't attain,
mm-hmm.
so he became Mankind. So he became Cactus Jack, and then he became Mankind.
Yeah.
And they were these angry, violent characters because he could not be Dude Love. And so when he was Dude Love,
mm-hmm.
it
it added all the more triumph because of this overarching, because it wasn't just another gimmick, it was this dream gimmick of that these other two gimmicks weren't. Those things are there, and they are findable, and there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that kind of just like, this thing is Max Landis made a video that made me more excited for WrestleMania than anything WWE's done this year.
Yeah.
Since Survivor Series. The last main roster exciting thing WWE has done is Survivor Series.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
I mean, the build-up and execution of tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs,
mm-hmm.
not good.
No.
Royal Rumble was not good. I mean,
it was fine.
And again,
if you can watch it objectively,
they have done nothing.
The beginning to the Rumble match was awful.
They have not done everything terrible because like they took, oh great, another Cena Brock Lesnar match. Just putting Seth Rollins in there fixed the whole match.
Right.
Set up, made it different, made the change, fixed the match, made it an exciting match, made it the best match of the year so far.
Yeah. And I mean, and in Fastlane, you know, it was kind of lackluster, but it wasn't a bad pay-per-view.
It wasn't a bad pay-per-view.
And Roman versus Daniel Bryan at the end was a good match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had fun. I haven't rewatched it, but I know I will at some point.
Right.
But it was, you know, it wasn't a bad pay-per-view, but not a pay-per-view that got me excited for anything.
Right. And so, I don't know. I want to, I guess, send out a thank you to him for doing that. It has re-jolted, reaffirmed my excitement, my enthusiasm for wrestling. And honestly, watching that and watching Raw right after that, because it came out on Monday.
I believe so.
Yeah,
yes. Okay.
Yeah. It came out on Monday.
Yeah, it did.
Honestly, as I was watching, I was like, you know what? This WrestleMania isn't for me.
Yeah.
It's not for me. It is for, I mean, WrestleMania will never quite be for me.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who is that active and is going to watch WrestleMania anyway, WrestleMania won't be for me. WrestleMania will be for people. You know, I have friends my age who, you know, when I say, hey, this is what's happening to WrestleMania, you know, Brock Lesnar champion. Brock Lesnar, the ultimate beast from when I watched, that's amazing. Yeah, right. And I think like Sting's gonna be there. Sting's at WWE. Right. I'm excited. I'm watching that.
It's trying to
grab. Who is Sting facing? Triple H. That's finally happened. Right. That's the dream of my childhood. Who's Brock Lesnar facing? Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns. Who's he? Oh, he's like The Rock's nephew or something.
Right.
Oh my goodness, The Rock. I love The Rock. And
it's
right. like
it's know. A way to grab people who aren't watching right now.
Right.
Either that be new people or trying to bring back some old people. You know, through names like Sting and Brock Lesnar and even Triple H, although the guy never really did go away.
No, but I don't know. It made me feel better about the product as a whole, about
just accepting that this right now isn't for me.
That's the thing. You know what? We're in a slump right now.
Yeah.
And that's okay at the end of the day.
Because hopefully, fingers crossed, being in a slump means upswing. Like, it's going to get better at some point. Hopefully.
I mean, if the pocket of suck moves in front of WrestleMania and it gets weird and interesting after WrestleMania,
then so be it.
So be it.
It'll be something to kind of reignite us and keep us going.
Yeah.
That will be weird because you'll be pretty much gone around that time.
Yeah.
But we will have a rotating door of people because you're getting married.
I am getting married.
So Chris is going to have to carry the podcast for a little
while.
Well,
one thing I'm really interested in trying out, we talked about
it.
I'm really interested in trying to completely distance myself from any behind-the-scenes material.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have been, for the past several years, just entranced in the behind-the-scenes politics,
right.
The behind the scenes happening. Even like just this WrestleMania, for example, I'm sitting there being like, how close is this Brock contract? That is the most interesting, the most compelling thing about WrestleMania right now to me is I won't know if Brock signed a contract until
if he wins or not, you know.
Right.
Or not if he wins or not, but if he shows up, like, because he can still lose and have signed a contract and have stuff later. But, you know.
But the likelihood of it all would be, depending on the.
Yeah, but, like, yeah. If Brock wins, I'm like, oh, contract got signed. That's going to be the first reaction. Because I have looked for every morsel of information about behind the scenes.
Right.
And I would like to, and I don't know if I'll be able to, I would like to try and sit back and just watch it as a show.
Right.
And see if it's different, if I can, if I view it as a different show, if I don't know what's going on backstage.
Yes.
I don't know if that's possible. But I go back to thinking that Shawn Michaels might beat The Undertaker.
Right.
Because of how little I knew what was going on backstage at the time.
Yeah. I mean, Twitter wasn't, I don't know if it wasn't around or just it was a thing.
It wasn't what it was.
Right? Now. Like, no one, I definitely didn't know what Reddit was.
Yeah.
You know, and so the Reddit is right now, like, the plug into the main line and to whatever's going on in the backstage.
Yeah.
Or people speculating what's going on backstage, I should say.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, like, the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like, both me and you, like, practically live on there.
Well, that's the thing, is, like, so much of discussion on what's going to happen is based on, oh, Triple H is pretty high on this guy right now. He's got a good shot. Oh, right. You know, Vince isn't really seeing it in Cesaro. Cesaro's getting this deep push, and, you know.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. And I won't right now because this is how I'm watching at least the WrestleMania because that's how I watch wrestling. But I want to, and you know, I don't want you to do it because I still want that.
Well, yeah,
that information is it's how we fill an hour.
Plus, again, like you're going to be doing this like when you're gone from the podcast for a little while. I'm still plugged in because I have to do the podcast.
But I want to.
I also don't feel like that same because I'm still, you know, I'm just a wrestling fan. Like, I've accepted it. I'm going to be there through peaks, valleys, whatever. It doesn't matter. Like, honestly, like, watching Royal Rumble, I'm just like, yeah, I'm pissed, but I never had the thought of, like, maybe I'm done, you know, or maybe I'm close to being done.
I don't know. Maybe I was going through, like, a crisis of conscience for the fed. Like, because the thing is, like, am I, there have been times in the past I'm like, you know what? For better or for worse, I'm never going to be done. I'm watching Raw every week. Even if I like miss a Raw or something, I'm not going to. But like, I'm watching Raw for the rest of my life, no matter what.
Yeah.
I'm going to be here. It's going to be here.
You know what I think probably softened the blow a little bit with Royal Rumble and everyone being down on it? The thought that, because I had just watched Wrestle Kingdom 9. Okay. And we've talked about that before on how high I am on that show in particular. It was a perfect show. Other than, slightly less perfect than WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm thinking there, I'm just like, God, these guys are so good. I might see them on NXT within the next couple years, you know? Because there's just this grab for talent that is really good talent, really great talent. And it's like, you know what? I might see these guys. It might only be in an NXT ring, but that's fine because NXT's great right now.
I mean, that's the thing is, you know what? All this complaining, all this, I don't know, maybe this, maybe that. Am I done? I don't know if I might be done. I can't be done because in 3 to 4 years, Kevin Owen and Sami Zayn and Finn Balor and Hideo Itami.
All those guys would be in the main roster.
Yeah. Hopefully, I mean barring some sort of disaster.
Hopefully they'll get the Chris Hero treatment.
Yeah.
That guy was perennial NXT-er.
So.
Cassius Ohno or whatever his name was.
Yeah. You want to do what's making you happy?
I got a few things making me happy. Wrestling related, obviously, is wrestling. Like, it's hard for anything to beat that out.
It's
Sting appearance on Raw was, like, it was one of those things where it's like, I was surprised, even though I'm plugged into, you know, all the backstage news that gets spread around, or people speculating, whatever. Like, I don't remember anyone saying, like, oh yeah, no, Sting's going to make an appearance, whatever. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, in his contract, like, oh, he's scheduled to make this appearance, and then I just ignored it. Fine, whatever. So that's pretty much high up on there, wrestling-related. Non-wrestling-related, I booked my trip, my cabin getaway, I am getting away from everyone for like 3 days. And I'm just going to do nothing but write and take it easy. And I'm so excited.
Alright.
Yeah, so April, weekend in April, I'm going.
Alright.
Yeah.
Wrestling isn't wrestling. There's no question. Yeah. It's, I mean, as I just kind of like expunged, it reinvigorated my entire joy for the of.
I will add one other, just a little quick tidbit from Raw that I did like, was the little talking bit with Cesaro and Tyson when they popped up and they did the clap thing. That was, I was like, you guys are adorable.
All right, good job. Yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I interrupted.
You did, you jerk. All right, go on.
Well, do you have anything non-wrestling related?
No, everything in my life is wrestling related.
I did see Chappie last weekend. That was good. I enjoyed it. Good it was job. Weird. It was pretty weird, but it was good.
You say so.
Well, in that case, it's time for the mail sack.
Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack. Mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. It's your mail
sack. Alright, so we have this on the Twitter coming from @YappaPodcast. What if the UFC thing with Brock leads to Roman and Rollins losing at Mania? Thordy freaks out, and Brian versus Brock is the only hope. I'm assuming, because I try to get some clarification, because I'm assuming he's talking about the Raw after, because that would be the last day on his contract if he decides to do the UFC thing or whatever.
Yeah.
So basically what we're thinking is Reigns loses to Brock, Seth comes out to try to cash in, he loses. Next day, Thordy is like, there's only one guy that we think can beat him. Which isn't very authority-like at all, but
yeah,
that would be a big face turn for them if they did that.
But that would mean Brian... Stone Cold hugged Vince that one time.
Very true. But who cares? Because that would lead to Brian versus Brock.
Brian and Brock
might not make sense like storyline wise, but when you're trying to make sure the guy doesn't leave with his belt.
Yeah.
You sent for Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah. That's a nice little reference.
Thank you.
I mean, that would be nice.
It seemed incredibly far-fetched.
Yeah, I mean...
It would be great, and I would love it, because that would mean, at least it would be on Raw, and it would... That would be like, well, it's not WrestleMania, but we still got to see Brian versus Brock, and so who cares where it's on?
I mean, honestly, I'm kind of hoping for... Like, at this point, I'm kind of hoping for, in 2 to 3 years, a Brian versus Kevin Owens match. And that'll be the closest thing I ever get to right. that Brian versus Brock match at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, if they can do it.
They can squeeze one in before.
That's the thing. Is like, if Brock is going to UFC, I feel like Roman's going to win. I don't think they're going to. Because they think that they're going to get that WrestleMania moment for him. And like, I don't work their well.
From the sounds of it, they're still... very adamant about that.
I don't think they will.
But I'm just like, I am hoping that Brock sticks around. Because there's still like some matches that we want to see. And that's very selfish of us. But like, no, we still need a Daniel Bryan versus Brock match. I don't care if it's at SummerSlam or whatever. Or Battleground of Champions. I don't care. Just, we want that match.
I mean, as a much more casual UFC fan than WWE fan. There's nothing in UFC that I want to see Brock do. There's no dream Brock UFC matches. Like, I mean, if he goes there, I'll watch what he does. But
I don't even know who's the heavyweight champ. Because he would go heavyweight, right?
Yeah, he would go heavyweight. There's two champions right now. Because I remember somebody was out with injury.
Okay.
And so there's a intermediate champion. And so they have a match coming up in the next couple of months to determine the undisputed.
All I know is Rumble Johnson's got a title match, and I'm excited for that, because that's, like, the one guy that I was like, nobody seems to be on this guy, like, on his bandwagon, and he won, and I'm like, you know what? That's the guy. Yeah. That's just me, though.
Yes, it is.
That is literally just me.
Good for you. All right, anything else for you?
No, I'm good.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter @CRAttire, where we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
Yep, and if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on our pre-WrestleMania podcast,
yeah.
All your pre-WrestleMania thoughts, your picks, your predictions, send those over to our email. That's classofringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Look us up there. You can subscribe to the podcast, or you can write a review or give us a rating of
5 stars.
All that kind of stuff just really helps out the podcast.
Yep, and if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. More your WrestleMania picks, your predictions, all that stuff. Leave that there. We'd love to hear from you.
We are also on Facebook. Look us up on Facebook. Just kind of comment, interact. You can find Wrestling Isn't Wrestling on our Facebook page.
Yep.
It's another way to keep up with the podcast.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.